Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. My name is Tash Tukutu and I am the Assistant Lodge Manager at Singita Pamshana in the Malilangwe Reserve, Zimbabwe. Today I am speaking to the incredibly talented and creative Tatenda Chidora, who I had the pleasure of meeting when he visited Pamshana. We'll be unpacking what inspires him, his work and life behind the lens. Tatenda, welcome and thank you for taking the time to chat to us. How are you doing?
Hello, Tash. Thank you for having me once again. I feel like I'm reliving the experience just from having this conversation with you.
Tatenda, just for our listeners, please introduce yourself, who you are and what you do to get to know you.
So I'm a photographer, commercially trained. I do practice in commercial photography and also fine art photography, where I get to build different bodies of work. I had the privilege of studying at a university in Pretoria, the Tshwane University of Technology, studied commercial photography. I've seen myself as a visual storyteller, always inspired by the stories around us, always inspired by people, by nature, by space. And it's always a challenge for me that I've placed on myself to translate the everyday stories that we are embraced with, the everyday experiences that we go through as Africans, and just translating that into visual stories.
Please tell us your story, how you got into photography, and yeah, a little bit about your trip to Singita Pamshana.
Amazing. So I initially never wanted to become a photographer. I always had it in me to become a chef. I loved the kitchen so much, and I think photography has taken that away from me. Initially, my whole dream was to become a chef one day, but I fell in love with photography, with the medium. I think subliminally from a very young age, my mom used to collect magazines. I always used to go through them, cutting through images out of the magazines. I always used to tell her, oh, I need them for a project. So I think subliminally, my visual memory, my visual diary was built in this time when I used to cut through the images. And then eventually it just became a hobby after I bought myself my first camera. I'd snap along people, some landscapes, some flowers. I know we love a bit of birding when you buy a camera. And that's how I probably started developing my eye through the camera, and then eventually I went to go on and to study photography.
Sounds incredible. So you traveled to Singita Pamshana to film Singita, a video with Julian Robinette. Because you're an artist and a photographer, you interpreted your feelings and experience into this beautiful film that really captured the essence of the Malilangwe Reserve. Talk to us about what looking up at Pamshana means to you.
I think for me, I've been telling people the past few months that this is probably one of the most special projects I've actually ever done. Being Zimbabwean, first of all, and not having an idea that there's a place like Pamshana that existed. And also just at a time when it has just rained, there's a lot of life coming through. And, you know, I think one of the things that really stands out the most for me is that I always say to people, when they say to me, oh, we see a lot of like natural light in your work, and we see a lot of like colors and warmth. And I think that's one of the things that really got engraved at the back of my mind. And when I get to express my work, I tend to tap into the things that I grew up seeing, grew up feeling. the teachers that surrounded me. I think they have a great impact in the work that I get to do. So looking up at Pamshana, if we talk about the light, the sky and the sunsets, I think for me that was like probably one of the most beautiful things, because the lodge is located at a higher elevation that gives you this beautiful 360 into nature. I really love the fact that you have the east that's looking out to the lake, but when you look out as well, it's like this vast, vast land that is there. And seeing the lodge at different times of day. So waking up early in the morning, you see the light coming in from the east. But when you are in your chalet, when you're looking out, the light is just literally just sweeping through the landscape in the morning. So the beautiful greens that were there, the reds of the soil. And then also when you look west, when the sun is setting, there's also like this beautiful light that is coming through. So there's just this vastness that I really appreciated at Pamshana. So I don't know if it was really intentional for Singita when they chose the word Pamshana. Growing up, hearing the word Pamshana for us was, it's actually a terminology that we use when people bask in the sun, especially during winter times. It's either early in the morning before the sun gets too hot and you're just trying to defrost from that morning frost, or towards the end of the day, you just want to absorb just a little bit of warmth from the sun that just comes through. So in Shona, when we speak about people basking in the sun, we always say, let's go sit Pamshana and we can have a conversation. Timbo Tower, you know, people tend to have a little bit of gossip, you know, people watching. And also, I think I have the visual subliminal terminology that we use, you know, when you look at time. But that's always actually the golden hour of light. So the light is warmer, the light is down, the sun is dropped down a little bit, and you've got these beautiful streaks of light that are just sweeping through the landscape. And I think just looking at my experience at Pamshana, I think it was well placed beautifully. The sunsets were gorgeous. No matter, you know, you're sitting in your room, this was probably one of my favorites. I remember one morning when the light was just sweeping in through, bouncing off the mirrors in the space, and then just seeing that beautiful amalgamation of interiors and also just the beautiful light coming in through in the space.
That is such a lovely way to look at it. And when you mention about basking in the sun, you literally took me back to my childhood days when I'd go visit my grandmother. It was literally every single day. You wake up, you go sit in the sun, and the day then just carries on later on. But for that first bit of the morning, you are just sitting there, exactly, people watching, and she tells you all her stories and all sorts. That literally took me back to the days when I was still young.
And I think just beautifully, like you just said now, stories and all the secrets were usually told at that time. There's just always a special moment when people sit together. It could be around the fire, which also I think if you look at the colors of fire, and if you look at the colors of a golden sunset, they've got a resemblance to each other. And that just that warmth that just comes with the color. And I think it also still is a very special tea. My grandmother had a huge teapot and she always used to drink it from top to bottom. And the stories would just flow at that time.
We've touched on looking up at Pamshana. How about your perspective on looking down at Pamshana? What does that perspective sound to you?
I think first of all, whenever I just look through the images, one of the things that really stands out the most for me is just the landscape from being in the landscape. So if you look, when we went out for the game drives, one of the most beautiful things is that the different types of forest or setting, I mean, we talk about the acacia, for example, you have an acacia forest and they like spread out vastly. And then also at the same time, you've got this plateau that has got a lot of rocks on top of each other, like balancing rocks everywhere. So one of the most beautiful things was even just looking at the red soil. I remember this one watering hole where we spent a bit of time at sunset, had like this really deep red soil. I even remember just spending time at the lodge. I just happened to stumble upon them. There were these beautiful seed pods that were just outside by the boutique shop from one of the trees, which I ended up just picking up and making a mask from it. And also just experimenting. I remember we did the one portrait with the baobab flowers. just looking down at that. And it's also just like how beautiful, when I just think about the intention that was there in the element of design of the lodge, and even just like placement of elements in the lodge, the shapes, talking about the seed pods that I was just talking about now that I used for the mask, the shapes that surround you, the colors that surround you, you know, you find them in the space as well, which is one thing that I really quite appreciated. I really loved when I just heard this story about the baobab flower, which blooms at night, gets pollinated at night, and then the next morning it's gone. It's drying up, which I found quite fascinating. But the color that these baobab flowers has is quite beautiful. And also, the flower then becomes crisp. It dries up and then retains its shape. And then it's got this beautiful texture to it. So I think just looking down at Pamshana, I think of the textures, the usage of stone. I really loved how the totems of the great Zimbabwe were used, like architectural, that whole cornice that makes the iconic great Zimbabwe was used in the architecture. And I think that's just also like just looking down on the usage of stone, which was then used to create these beautiful, fascinating architectural pieces that you find in each and every architectural piece in the chalets and just in, as an element of design. So I really quite loved how there was design thought thoroughly and just from the inspiration of the surroundings that we have.
I actually have a colleague who has your mask picture as her desktop background. That's how it was quite incredible. Just the creativity behind it. And I took my crown home, by the way, so I still have those baobab flowers.
Amazing. Amazing. No, it was, I mean, also when you just, when we did the portrait with your crown, the light at that time, and then just marrying with the color of the baobab fruit that was dried that we all placed together. So I picked up these baobab flowers and then I made them into a crown. It's quite tall, about 30 centimeters, which I placed over your head as a prop. And, you know, when you look at the time of day, you know, just how calm the image looks, I think that was probably like the way I could really translate the moment and the moments that I actually experienced whilst I was at Pamshana. And just like always these moments of silence and just looking at this vastness, which I really, really appreciated. You know, you go out on a game drive, but it's actually quite a privilege because you have this well-maintained game reserve, but it is also lush, beautiful, a lot of biodiversity that just like surrounds this beautiful reserve.
That's quite a vast piece of land, and it's more than just the animals and everything else. And I think looking at your video as well, it's like there's every part of it. I feel like you touched it and captured it so perfectly. And then looking into Pamshana, tell us a bit about that.
Oh, man. When I think about looking in at Pamshana, the first thing that really that comes to my mind actually first is being in a space where I know we are in a hospitality industry and always being catered for is like the very best and the main priority that the team wants to give you. But I think it hits differently when somebody is there to serve you, but they speak your home language. Exchanging conversation with our Banakeli, our game rangers, I think that was probably one of the most beautiful things. I still can't get over the conversations I had with Mom Lizzie, just experiencing and learning how she actually does play Mbira. And I remember the day when we encountered her, we went to the wellness spa and there was this Mbira. Mbira is one of our traditional instruments. And I think it sounds like a xylophone, but very of high note and quite therapeutic when it's played. And I love the fact that people tend to say that it's the whole story behind the Mbira, it's usually an instrument that is played to call on the ancestors. But I mean, when you hear it, it's quite just therapeutic in its all fullness. So I remember when we were in the wellness center and I asked the lady who was in the wellness center if she knew anyone who happened to play in the Bira. And Mom Lizzie was in the space and she happened to say, oh yeah, I'm still learning, but I can play a little bit. And then I was like, oh, can you play us something? And then she took it and she played it. I think just 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, just like 15 seconds into it, we were all just quiet and literally some form of hypnosis, I could just say, but, you know, really, really beautiful. So, you know, just listening to people's story, I remember David and Time, our guides, Time had a story for everything. Not even story, but knowledge for everything. And one of the elements that really inspired me the most, I remember we're having a game drive early in the morning and we saw a baby impala. And he was like, oh my gosh, that's a baby impala. And I was like, yeah, it's a baby impala. And he had this excitement on his face. And I'm just like, and it's like, oh, that's a very good sign that we are going to have a good rainy season. If you knew that impalas, when they give birth, not actually in their gestation period, if they sense a drought, they absorb their embryos, but they give birth when they know that there's going to be a good rainy season. And then he goes on, it's like, yeah, we've got so many baobab trees here. They're probably the oldest they are in Zimbabwe. And I'm just looking at him and I was just listening to him. And he's telling us all about the pollination that happens of the baobab trees. They only happen at night and the flowers only bloom at night. You can never see them during the day. So I think just looking in, you know, listening to the people's stories, where they are from, how long they have been in the space, and then just the warmth of the service. The attentiveness to detail was probably one of the most beautiful things, because I remember when we went fishing the one day and we caught these very fresh bream fish from the lake. And I said, oh, this fish would be a very good addition to my meal one of these days. And I remember we sat down for dinner one night and then our Banakeli came and told us what was on the menu that night. And then I chose something that was on the menu. And then she went back to the kitchen and then she came back and she was like, no, the chef has prepared the bream that you requested yesterday. So I think just also just returning home to experience a place that I've actually never had thought existed, just the beauty of it, was just really something special for me.
That is incredible to hear as part of the Pamushana team. Honestly, it's literally exactly the feelings we try and get our guests to experience, is exactly that feeling at home and no care in the world. Just relax and take it all in and not a set schedule or anything of that sort. So that's very good to hear that that was the experience you had.
To be honest, well done. Because being at Pamushana literally feels like being at a retreat. You escape from everything. You escape from the world. And I think time slows down. There's this beautiful energy that is just in the space. And I think location-wise, I'm always at calm when I'm surrounded by water. And, you know, I think that's also just another element. And you've got water, you've got these plunge pools outside as well. The heat, it was very hot, but could never feel the heat at its fullest, because I think everything was well taken care of. And I also cannot get over the hand wash. that I can never get over, having Tanganda tea bags being used as an ingredient to your hand wash. I think that was like very special. The millimeal can never get over it. So I really appreciate how everything is considered.
Yeah, the hand wash is everyone's favorite. usually guests are like, oh, so we don't do this every day? Like, well, if you really wanted, yes, we can do it every day. But yeah, again, those local ingredients as well in there. Again, another story to tell of that the Tanganda tea is a Zimbabwean product. Tatenda, you made this incredible short film for Singita Malilangwe, which perfectly captures the essence of Pamushana so well. If you haven't seen it, please check it out on YouTube. We'll also link it in the show notes below for anyone to have a look at it. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. It's an amazing video. So, Tatenda, tell us the inspiration behind that video, the creativity that went into it.
Oh, amazing. Thank you, Tash. So, When we received the brief from the team, I remember doing a presentation. I took a lot of inspiration and then I presented it to the team. And then Jess was like, oh my goodness, beautiful presentation, but this is not what we're looking for. We are looking for you to go and experience. And I was like, okay, how is this going to come to life? Because to be honest, as a commercial human, and we can't take out that element, there is a set rule of always approaching work. So a client comes to you and then they tell you what they want. And already in your mind, you click into the rules of doing that work and producing the work. You have your A, B, C, and D's like literally lined up and you're ready to get into this job. And this one time around, she says to me, you're going to experience Bamshana not as a subject, but we want you to capture it as an immense experience. And I was just thinking to myself, oh my goodness, now we are going in a different direction. So when we got to the property, our minds were going left, right, and center. And also you are in this wow moment because you're experiencing this place for the very first time. And then you go about it and then you look left, right, there's something interesting. You look to the right, there's something interesting. You look up, there's something interesting. You're in the middle of a baobab tree. You go out. So then I think we just had to go back to the drawing board. And the one word that came to our mind was actually two words. The first was immerse. Immerse yourself into the place. And then the second word was study. So I worked with an incredible cinematographer. His name is Julian Robinette, an amazing, amazing visual storyteller. I've always loved his textures. I've always loved his translation to light. I've always loved his translation to space. We had worked on a few projects before that. So he was literally my first person to go to because looking at his visual language, he was going to be the right person to bring this experience out for me. So the behind the scenes was very interesting because we had to come up with an idea of how we were going to bring out this visual, how we were going to bring out this video. My first experience and probably my first place to go to was to experience Bamshana as a study. So what I did was study the environment, study light movement. So we were graced with early morning drives. You look at the light, and that would then place the light in the environment. The light moving through the space, the light moving through the landscape, and also look at the plants, study of the plants. I did a study on the plateau. Look at how the different plateaus that we had, the acacia forest, the open vast lands, balancing rocks, and then also look at the rock art, the different kind of trees, a study around water bodies. Beautifully amazing how there is the beautiful lake that we have, but also the different water walls that were like specifically placed in the whole entire property. And also above anything else, I think just the study of the people, listening to the people, asking them as much as they work in this space, what's their favorite place in Singita, in Bamshana, and also just hearing them speak about how as much as they spend a lot of the time in the lodge, it's actually quite therapeutic for them because they might be at work, but they're just far away from the vast world and it just gets to slow them down a little bit. So this was how we approached making the video at Bamshana. So it was from the experiences that we had, the feelings. We tried as much as we can how to tickle the feelings and articulate the feelings. And I feel like we still have a lot that we didn't unpack from the experience itself.
It's okay. You can just come back again.
Oh, thank you.
You spoke about obviously immersing yourself into this lovely place. Can you say you had a favorite moment on the trip? I know you did touch base with a few staff members and heard quite a lot of stories. Is there any pinpoint on a favorite moment on the trip?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's a hard one. Favorite moments. Oh, driving through a herd of buffaloes. Thousands. I don't know how many there were. Thousands. And when we reached the spot where these buffaloes were, they started moving. And then there was just this red dust gushing in the air. Probably one of my favorite moments. I can never get over the sunsets. I'm a very sunsety person. Sunset and sunrise. I think the sunsets were everything. And we call it the bougie ball, but this butternut ball from the kitchen was probably one of the best things that we had. On a 42-degree day, then you come back from your game drive and the first thing you have is this really cooling. I don't know how they made it, but it was this cooling ice cream-like butternut ball. We had it every day. I think I gained like a few kgs from that. Just experiencing Pamshana, for me, to be honest, being surrounded by the bodies of water, being in the lake, absolutely stunning.
I think all the ladies in the kitchen will be very happy that the butternut ball was your favorite, because it's our favorite, and anyone who doesn't like it is like, is everything okay? And amazing. The sunsets, literally, oh. I say you can never get over them. I don't know how many videos I have, the same driveway every single day. It almost feels like it's the same video, but I swear it's different days. Just, I cannot.
There you go. You've got a light study there, literally. I think just the elevation of the lodge and how intentionally it's been placed, you can experience the light in any direction. I think it's different experiencing a sunset while you're like at a low elevation and experiencing a sunset while you're at a high elevation. I think just gives you different perspective. You have a moment just to gaze out into the horizon.
That is beautifully said. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. Literally, it felt like we were going back to the times when we were still showing you the different rooms and where to film. And yeah, we really hope to have you back soon at Pamshana. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I would definitely take that as an invite back, as I feel there's still a lot more to explore at Pamshana.
Maybe next time it'll be a different season.
Yes.
Maybe in the dry time. It'll be very interesting to see what comes out of that visit as well. But thank you so much and look forward to catching up with you again.
Thank you, Tash.
Alrighty, thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Singita Podcast, Safari Conversations. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.